Kum Lenin, a blood gemara. We're up to the Vav and Beis in the bottom of the page. So explaining Bem Seder, we saw that even though you did it with the left hand, you can fix it up by putting the kmitzah back into the keli and then taking it out again. And these Tanaim said this is all talking about provided that you weren't mekadosh it yet. Once you mekadosh it, get fafal. Says but I don't understand. Michael Savri, four lines in the bottom. Michael Savri, Hanetanoi, what do these Tanaim hold? If they hold that the kmitzah itself is already an avoider, then even though you didn't put in the keli, you already ruined it. So what's the why suddenly if you put in the keli it becomes a problem? Even before then, and he commits a psul avoider. If you tell me that what the psulin did is not an avoider, commits a psul not avoider is ki over the keli mahave. In other words, because since it was puzzle, nothing happened at the commits stage. So if you put in the keli, so what? Says Gemara Nachman, this is where we stopped yesterday. Le'elam avoidi, it's the beginning of an avoidah. V'le gomra avoidosa adov l'matn kli. No, it starts the avoidah from the kmitzah. It finishes when you put it in the keli. So therefore, they say, Kol Ma'i didn't put in the keli, you can fix it up. But once you put in the keli, it finishes what you started, and you ruined it, and therefore fafam. I feel like Kiddush. Even if you weren't mekadosh it in the keli, even if you didn't put it in another keli, mekadosh it, v'chimahadale lekoimet leduchtei. What do they do? You tell them, replace it back in the original keli. As soon as you put it back in the original keli, that keli is tikdosh, it becomes kodesh, and but that's the keli you put in the first place. And then itself should become possible just by putting it back. The moment you put it back, it becomes possible already. So what do you mean by Medran Munin, they didn't put it into another keli to mekadosh? In order to do it again, you have to put it back in the original keli, right? You put the kmitzah back where it used to be, and then you do kmitzah again. But as soon as you put it back in the original keli, it became possible again. Amar Rabbi Yochanan must conclude, klei shoris in mekach namadas. When do we say when you put something in klei shoris that it makes it kodesh? Only if your intention to make it kodesh. Here you're putting it back not to make it kodesh. You want to start it all again. So therefore, it's not a problem. So he's talking about hamadas mekach. Well, tell me, but if you put it... what do you call it? Das to Mekadosh, don't look at Kodesh. In fact, there's a question because our problem here is, of course, Klei Shoddis is Mekadosh. Our problem here is that this is possible. This Klei Shoddis also Mekadosh things which are possible. So you're telling me that if you had it in mind, it will be. For the mother, but it wasn't that a question that Shlokish asked Rabbi Yechon. Klei Shoddis, Maoshi, Katshap, Sulun, Chatchila, if you put something possible in the Klei Shoddis, does it become Kodesh or not? The carbon in order to bring as a carbon, but on Malayne, he said to him, "Ain't mekachin that does not make kodesh." So what are you telling me? That if you put it back and you're answering me that you didn't have it in mind, who cares if you had it in mind, didn't mind? It shouldn't be clay shodis and not mekadosh unless it was suitable for it, not if it's possible. Amalei, you're just shot like this. Ein mekachin lekadav. Yes, if it's possible, the keli cannot be mekadosh in order that to make it enable it to be brought up as a carbon. If you put possible in the Kodesh, it doesn't make Kodesh, well, that makes it possible. Rav Amram, Amram gives a different tereitz. So even if you want to say that if you have no intention whatsoever, the moment you put it back in the keli, it does become kodesh. So you ask the question, if these tanoim hold, that as soon as you put it in the keli, if you put it in the clay shadas, it ruins it. So how can you ever return it? The moment you return it, aren't you returning the clay shadas? And who cares if you had das, you never das. You know what we're talking about over here? You're talking about, I'm going to zero lebisa gedusha, you put it into a keli that's full to the top. So it's not sitting inside the walls of the keli, because it's not sitting inside the keli. Therefore, it does not become kodesh. Because in order for klei shoddis and mekadosh, it has to be inside the keli. So the gemara, mekametz hechi kametz. If we're talking about a keli that's full to the top, and this came from above it, how do you do kmitz in the first place? Because the kmitz has to be from inside the keli, and you're telling me that you're putting it right back where it originally was, and where is that? Above the keli, it was piled high. So how was the kmitz that place in the first place? Because the keli is only considered a keli if it's inside the toichai. So the gemara, you put it back, lekisa tefufa, you put it back into a round keli that is not mamish full. But when you took out the kmitza from the keli, you took it out from the middle. So you made a hole in the middle of the flour there in the keli. And so therefore, when you put it back, you're putting it now on top of the keli. So it was a keli, the more around the ground keli. When you took the kmitza, you took it right from the middle, and now you're putting it back, you're putting it on top. So therefore, it's not a problem. Kmitza originally was good, and now it's not a problem. The kiv the kamis le over le guma. When you did the kmitzah, but you created a hole there. Ki mahadle le gavo the monika mahadle. So the Gemara has a question. Well, when you put it back, you're putting it right back in the keli. So why isn't it again kodesh? And the Gemara mechi mahadle. You're not putting it back in the same place where you took it from. You're putting it back monika le adafna the mona. You're putting it on the walls of the keli, and therefore right now it's above the keli. That's why bemesin a keli kleshadis mekadesh even shalei medas, even psulin shalei medas. But over here, it was above the keli, therefore it didn't become. Says he would have eaten. And what happened was, you put it on top of the keli, and then, so how do you do a second kmitzah then? When you do kmitzah, it has to be from inside the keli. The whole purpose of putting it back in is you do another kmitzah. So what does it help me? You're telling me that you put it above the keli. If you put it above the keli, that's why it doesn't become possible. It wasn't mekadesh, but l'chayda, how do you do the second kmitzah? So what happened was, manidle, you then shake the keli. The nafum memele becomes, it falls right back into the hole, that cavity that you created before, it falls right back into there. The nasi kimishach zera kaif. It's as if a monkey put it back into the keli, and not you, and therefore it doesn't become possible. Keli is not mekadesh unless somebody puts it into the keli. We acknowledge you don't need das, you don't have to have intention that this should become kodesh, but at least it has to be a human hand involved. Here it's as if a monkey placed it in there because you put it on the walls and then it fell in there. Okay. Why don't we just answer? Why don't we just answer that you put it back to the keli while it's sitting on the ground, and say that a keli while it's on the ground, when is a keli mekadesh? Only if it's in the hand of a kohen. But if it's sitting on the ground, it's not mekadesh, and that's how you put it back. And then a kohen lifts it to do kmitz, and then solve all problem. You put it back, and it didn't become kodesh yet. And later when you do kmitz, you make a kodesh. It must be Yoshmamin of me that I kmitz in meklish agabe karka the taka, even if the keli is sitting on the karka, you can still do kmitz from there, and it will become kodesh. So he said to him, "Kornagad, what you're touching now, your discussion, you're touching now." He's telling him, "Is beboya the boyilon a question that was asked to us by Rabbi Vima?" What happened was the Rabbi Vima or the Avimai Tony Menachas was once learning Masechta Menachas Beit Avchiza. So they also learned Masechta Menachas. Imagine about 1650 years ago, there was a man called Avimai learning the same Gemara we're learning right now, word for word, nothing is different. It's not a pretty.
Well, that means it was really formulated by Avinu the Rashi.
Yeah, that's what it says. Melachos, if Mamish word for word, but he had the gist of a journey. Definitely was there because the Mishnayos was there.
Did he come to you here?
In my previous Gilgal, I don't know where I was. Halavai, I was learning Teda.
If this Avimai was Mamish at the very end of the Amoraim.
No, he wasn't at the end of a moment. This is he's Rav Zeida telling a story. So Rav Zeida is a third generation. He said so he didn't have maybe word for word, but he had the general format. Rav Avimai was learning Menachos, Beit Rav Chizda, Shir Rav Chizda.
Gilgul, right? When someone goes to various people, right? And Trias, amazing, what happens? Only one of them gets out.
Very good question, but it's actually totally unrelated to what we're learning right now. But it's a good question, regardless. The Rebbe in Shuvos Biyurim talks about that by Riches. By Rav Chizda, Avimai was learning Menachos Nishir Rav Chizda. Before you go further, Avimai by Rav Chizda, it sounds like Avimai was a student of Rav Chizda. Tony, he learned it's impossible because Rav Chizda, once made a fakert. Avimai was Rav Chizda's Rebbe. Rav Chizda once said that once he was learning and Avimai kufet tov bolim Avimai got a lot of klep. It is klep. Rashi says, "Hakoy is tovus." I don't know exactly what tovus means here. Geshmak a klep. What's a good patch? I don't know. With a big smile. Well, he knows that he was trying to drill it into my head. So he was giving
which means that Rav Zeila remembered something that happened in Bavel, although he wanted to forget it all.
He wanted to forget the learning problem, not the patch. So he said to him, "The kulfi tovi boli mavimai." I once got a lot of klep from Avimai. I swallowed from Avimai. Allah Hashmaita, he was trying to teach me as a student in the Gemara. There, one place says 30 days you have to announce if you want to, for your assignment to sell the property. One place says 6 days. He said like this: Ritzufin, if it's consecutive days, Lamed Yom, 3 days is enough. Shane, if you don't do Mondays and Thursdays, even though it's less days in Sachakol, Samer, 6 days. So, who is the Rebbe? Avimai was the Rebbe of Chizda, not Chizda was the Rebbe of Avimai. Says the Gemara, Avimai Mesechta is Akri. He forgot Mesechta Menachos. So therefore, he's akli. He forgot Masechta Menachos. He came, even though he's the Rebbe of Chizda, Rav Chizda knew Masechta Menachos. He went back to him, and he went back to him to learn from him. Interesting. How do you forget Masechta Menachos? Okay, anyway. What's the Gemara? Can you say that? Kule Gemara. It's Chamoy Day. We're talking about Amoraim, not me or you.
So you. Did some
of Aaron, Hashem said, he said, no, I'm not going to do Avedis. But also, Kamel Chizzi, he went to Chizzi at Kude Gemara. He wanted to remember what he learned. I guess talking it over, it'll come back to him. Says the Gemara, Ebaze, if he was the Rebbe Chizzi, why did he schlep to Rebbe Chizzi Yeshiva? Shouldn't he have summoned Rebbe Chizzi to come to him? Why didn't he ask Rebbe Chizzi to come to my house? He thought, and this is the point that you said Yehuda before. But you see how the Gemara uses it. The Gemara, he thought that if he makes the effort to go to Rav Chisda's yeshiva to learn, there's a rule, you guide to Matzasa timing, and it's meant for Torah.
That, not bagels.
You guide to Matzasi timing, as Rashi brings down, you guide to Matzasi. And therefore he thought, this is part of my Yigi. Yigi doesn't only mean, it's interesting, you guide to Matzasi, where Rashi learns, doesn't mean only the learning, you know, you huddle and learning. Even just the effort to walk there, is already considered a gaiti and matzosi, and therefore, in the schus of that, you will learn, you will be zeicher to remember your Gemara. So the Gemara, Pogi Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman met him in Avimai, and this is all part of the story. Reb Nachman Avimai, Omale Keitzad Kaimti, how do you do kmitze? Omale Miklize, there's a keli sitting on the floor, and he said, yes, from this keli. If this keli was holy, you could do kmitza. In other words, what's Avimai saying? What's Avimai saying? Or Rav Nachman saying that you can use a keli on the ground? He said to him, how can you do from the karka? You have a koyin lifting it. The keli makachi is a menachis.
It's not on the ground.
And after you pick it up. Or you sound like, you know, but it sounds like it's not so clear. It starts off on the ground, and then he says the kohen has to pick it up. In other words, sitting on the ground itself wouldn't be mekadosh it. Amalei, it's like Kate said, mekadosh menachas. How you mekadosh mincha? Amalei noisel klize. He asked him, "How do you do a kmitza?" You say from this keli for kohen picks it up. How do you mekadosh the mincha itself? You put it in this keli again. First part is the kmitza. After you did the kmitza, you're supposed to put it in another keli.
The kmitza. Yeah, but the original flair that you didn't do the kmitza.
That's the first. This is for two parts. It's the mincha and the kmitza. So first he asked him, "How do you mekadosh the kmitza?" He said, "You put it in this keli on the ground. You know, whatever ground you kohen picks it up." Now he's asking the original mincha. How you mekadosh the original mincha? So he told him again, you
so
put it in the keli.
He assumed that the mincha has to be in the Skaddish after the kmitzah.
Before. Oh, he's not going in order.
He's
not going in order, yeah. He said to him, on the keli on the ground. V'chimekachim b'klish avakarka, and you mekadish a keli that's on the ground. Omele magbele koyin. See, another koyin picks it up. So what do you have here? You have one koyin who picks up, who's holding the keli with the original mincha. You have another koyin who does the kmitza, and you have a third koyin who's holding the second keli where you put the kmitza in, because we said if it's sitting on the table or on the ground, it's gone right. For every mincha, you need three koyinim. What's wrong? What do you mean? We have by a karma tamid, we find that we have 13 koyinim involved, like the Gemara says by the lotteries. So what's wrong having three koyinim involved in the mincha? Actually, there's a question. The Mishnah says, this is the rule, kol ha-koyim is, if you do kmitza. The noise in the place in the keli, amoylich v'hamaktir. If somebody takes it and brings it to the mizbeach to roast lechol, dover shadak lechol, you do it, what? And you cook it or you bake it in the way that's normal to eat. The ilam, magbia, lektani, no, it doesn't say it has to be lifted. Sounds like that it can sit on the floor and that gufa is enough to make kaddish it. You're telling me that in order to make a kaddish, it has to be lifted. It doesn't say that anyone in Mishnah, it has to be lifted. So the Mishnah had a question. Tana say that avoidus knocket. V'loy say the kain. Not telling you all the activities of the kain. Of course, it has to lift it. He's telling you that avoid it. What they did was they put it in the keli, then they brought it to wherever they had to cook it. So you don't avoid it. Not, yeah.
It's interesting that had no, it doesn't seem to have any tables or anything to do all this. The ground and that's it. No ledges, no tables.
That table's for the shecht. They had the rings with the shecht and for the meat.
Yeah.
The script.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
right. Also. Exactly. They asked the question, can you be claimed from a keli sitting on the ground? Go out and see what they did inside the heichel. Rav Sheish has lived many years after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and he's telling the guys, why don't you walk in the Heichal, see what they're doing. This is what they did. Abba Kohen Nichnasi, four Kohen would enter, Shnayim, B'yodam, Beis Dorim, two of them, on Shabbos, when they took out the Lechem upon him. How many Kohen were involved in taking Lechem upon him? There were four Kohen involved. Two of them had in the hands the two Dorim, the two rows of six that they had to do for the next week. The Shnayim, B'yodam, Shnei Bezichin, two of them held the incense, V'abba, Mikad, Milifnei, there were another four that went before them, Shnayim, little Shnei, don't take last the previous week's Lechem upon him, little Beis Bezichin. So you had a total of eight Kohenim involved. This is another Heichal. Where is it sitting, the Lechem upon him? Yeah. You had to replace the old Lechem upon him with the new one. So they had four taking away and four putting in. Nowhere does it say that they have to, you should have someone lifting the table to remove the bezichin. The table is no different than the floor. So we see from here, it doesn't matter. It could be on the floor, it could be on the table. That's enough. It's Mekadosh. You don't have to lift it to be Mekadosh. Because we know that the bezichin, if you remember, we learned that removing the bezichin lechem aponim is tantamount to kmitzah by mincha. You're not allowed to eat the lechem aponim until you remove the bezichin. So we're comparing, we're equating removal of bezichin to kmitzah. And we see here, you can remove the bezichin sitting on the table. There's no other kohen coming in to lift the table. So the same thing by kmitzah, you could do from the keli shal gabi karka.
What's that's the thing. What's
bezichin is the incense that they used to put in.
So it's like powder?
No, it was what exactly it looked like, I don't know.
It wasn't liquid?
No, it wasn't bowl. It was an incense. So it was your fragrance.
Right on the table, not
it
in
sat, there was two of them sitting on the table, yeah.
Directly
on the table. Yeah. Actually, we can learn about it. Not here, but later. Where are we? Well, again, no right from there. Hossam say that avoider is not. He's talking about the avoider. Lifting the table is not an avoider. It had to be done, but it's not from the choshev avoiders. We're only counting the choshev avoiders. There's no right here. What are you comparing? You're comparing the same answer we gave before when we said that we're talking about by the mincha. Three kohenim, and we don't count the one who picked up the keli to the one who. To, they're not counting the koyp. Who picked the shulchan? That's it's omitted. Midami hasam lenochas leminyana the kohenim. It's not that. Before we were not out to give you here. The whole purpose of Sheshit was to tell you exactly how many kohenim were involved in lechem upanim. So if he's out to tell you and there's one other kohen that's necessary or two, whatever it is, to lift the table, why doesn't he include them as well? He's out to tell you the number. By the mincha, he wasn't out to tell you the number. He's out to tell you what how many kohenim you need, and that it works out. You had to have three. Says the Gemara, "Hasam le'nochel minyan the kainim." So therefore, he omits the kain who lifts it up. Aba hachan nochel minyan the kainim. He's out to tell you how many kain there are. Imisa, and if there was another kain, at least the magbia, why doesn't he conclude the kain that has to lift it? Shmamino kain to miklitz avayel karish shmamino. Is that I for me? You don't have to lift the keli. You can sit on the shulchan, remove the bezichin. You can have the keli on the ground, do the kmitz and so on. The same discussion, but Rava continues the discussion. He said, "Koymitz mikliva karka." I hold that you could be koymitz from the keli and the karka. She came motzinu besiluk bezichin. We find the same thing by the bezichin, by the lechem aponim. So the lechem aponim is considered shirayim, and the bezichin are considered the kmitzit. You remove the bezichin, you don't have to lift the table. The same thing by mincha. So you can mekadish the mincha. You can be koimitz the mincha from the karka because you remove the bezichin, and you can mekadish the mincha because you see the bezichin. When they place the bezichin on the table, they're again, they didn't lift the table anyway. Kiddush koimitz mai. So what about if you wanted to take this koimitz, you want to mekadish it? What happens by the shulchan? They took away the bezichin. We don't find that they put it inside another keli afterwards. They just took it away. They would take it straight to the mizbech and roast it on the mizbech. So therefore, we cannot learn from Karm Mincha. What do you do with the bezich with the kemitzah? So the question is, kiddush kemitz maya. Do you have to be mekadosh the kemitz before you bring the mizbech or not? Do we say mincha yalfinala? We learn from the mincha itself. Just like the mincha itself has to be put in a keli to make kodesh, so to the keli. Medam yalfinala. We learn from dam. By dam also, you have to put it in the keli. Because we know that kmitza corresponds to shchita, And the kaimitz is corresponds to the halacha and the kabbalah and the halacha. How the poshta medam yafin you learn from dam. So mincha doesn't need a keli, or you learn from dam, but you need a keli. We say mimi over halacha. The rabbi say you learn from dam. Right? Mar kaimitz shechalku bishne kelim. What if you took a mitzvah and divide into kelim? If you divide into kelim. We know by dam it has to be placed into one keli, and he asked the question by kmitza: can we put it, divide it, and put it into keli? But Nachman says, "Ain't a kaddish, don't kaddish." Oh, well, kaddish. Rabbi says kaddish because why? You don't learn from dam. If you learn that you learn everything from dam, then you should compare it to dam as well. You cannot divide it into keli. But Hadabei Rama, he changes mind. You don't learn from dam. Tell you what, but dam and nolan lekodesh katan. You just said that what by dam it doesn't become holy if you divide it into two. How do you know? The tani rab tachlifa ben shol kiddush pachas mechde hazor beklizeh. If you mekadesh less than the amount that you need to sprinkle in this keli, pachas mechde hazor beklizeh, and you're less than the amount of sprinkling on another keli, like kiddush become holy. The boy who has a question, by dam my. The first thing is talking about kiddush pachas mechde hazor. We're talking about the mechatas. We're talking about the mechatas that you mekadesh. The mechatas, you know, you have to dip in over there those hyssops and then sprinkle it. If you didn't have enough in each cup, it's no good. So now we're asking, what about the bedam mai? In other words, once you put it by mechata, you put in two separate kelim. You only mix it later, it's far found. So by dam, let's say you took the blood from the goats or the whatever it is that requires hazor, and you need to do seven hazors. You took enough blood, three hazors in one cup, and enough blood for four hazors in the second cup. What happens? Ma hilchasahi says the Gemara. This thing about by mechata zalocha mihilchasa liyafina. So therefore, you cannot compare the hazors adam to the mechatas, because halach mashina you cannot learn. Ideal mahosa my time. What's the reason? It's not halach mashina. There's a pasuk where it says you should take the hyssop and the tava bamaim. Says you dip it in the water. Hachanamik if it tava badam. No, it sounds like in the water means in one cup. Shouldn't have two different cups. So maybe if that's the word, not halach mashina, then by dam should do the same thing. But tava badam says in the pasuk the kohen should dip his finger badam. That means all the blood should be in one cup. Veit when we learned Amar Abzika, Amar Abelazar av badam lekiddush. Rab Zika said, "Name Rab Lazar also by dam loy kiddush. Also by dam, Rab Kiddush does not become kiddush with two cups, because it says the taval badam has to be the tefillah should be all the tefillah all the dam should be in one place, collected in one place." Omar Rav says, "Rav,
this is to do with the paradam, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
we're asking whether the dam side of it is compared to. We already said before that it's like madr there and surely there." It cannot be that a better kabbayah should be stricter than a korban.
We had a kabbalchem yesterday.
So therefore, if the din of here is that it's kosher, then we'll assume the same over here. No, sorry, here it's posel. By paradum it's posel the mechatas if it's in two cups. It's a chumras. The question is it a unique? Is it halach masine or is it some poshta pshat and pasuk? And we're not even learning for paradum. We're learning now. It's like a gila milsa. But just like over there, it means ba. You know, b'mayim means in one cup. So badam means in one cup. Omar Rav says, Rav Tanya Mahachi, we talk learned. We dash, we had and we dash from here a whole bunch of things. It says, V'toval, you should dip your finger. V'loy maspig, you shouldn't go against the wall and take your finger and rub against the wall. We want you to dip inside the blood itself. That's V'toval, to dip. Which is the place.
What do you do when you go to the land?
That's why you're not a coin. Maybe she knew exactly who to make a coin, who not. The toval, must be shouldn't rub your finger against the wall and use that blood. Bad dam inside the blood, that she ate dam sheer tefillah mi kodrei, that the blood shouldn't split the blood into two cups and afterwards mix it together. There should be enough blood in the first cup to do all the seven hazoyes. Then it says the pasuk. It says he's a min hadam from the blood min hadam shebeinyan from the blood in that matter which we'll see later the more explain that means v'itzach lemichta v'tavol lemichta b'dam. So l'chayda a minute ago you said you learned from v'tavol that you should dip once. It means all the blood should be in the same place. And now and then as we're learning here, and also we learn from badam. What do you need badam as well? Tell you in one blood. That even though you didn't have enough for seven hazois, We think it doesn't matter because as long by the time you put your finger in, you know, you put it in two cups. One cup for has three hazos, the other one has four, and afterwards you mix it. So as long as we're medactic v'tovel, when you place your finger in, there's enough blood for that particular hazos, it's good enough. That's what you would think.
Just as well, another question.
Okay. I've got the kibul shirt fillers mikode because I'm a bedam. No, from the beginning, from the outset, it has to have the full shirt of dam. Because I'm a bedam, I mean, I thought I feel a maspig. As long as even if it's against the wall, and you take your finger and you rub it against the wall, and you have blood on it, it's good enough. I'm on a vitova. We want it in the way of dipping. It should be in, inside, you know, liquid in the cup. Yeah, min hadam should be inyan mutma. What do you mean, the blood of the inyan, and not what? That you don't say, okay, let's say you sprinkled once and then you have enough blood in your finger to do a second time. Say, okay, I'll use the shirayim, my finger. No, no, no. It has to be every time a new dipping. Don't use the shirayim of the finger. That the leftover in the finger is pasul. Tanya, hayamaze, what happens? He was spraying from the damachatas, the nitzah hazom yodai, and then remember we learned before that if the blood when you're spraying by chatas falls on your clothes, you have to cover, you have to wash your clothes, it has to be laundered. So what happens? He was spraying the nitzah hazom yodai, and a part of it hazah fell on your shirt. Im actually, he's if before you spray the blood. In other words, that the blood that's on your finger, before you sprayed it, fell off your finger and fell on your shirt. So this blood is suitable to be sprayed. Then it's considered blood. Shalom, he's a tone kibbutz. Then it requires to be laundered because this is real blood. Oh, but Misha, he's a once you sprayed and you have a little bit left over blood on your finger and it falls on your shirt, you don't have to wash it off because that's no longer blood. What means no longer blood? It's not kosher anymore. It's a sprinkle. Ain't tone kibbutz, my love. Ad shalom, gomer hazoasai. L'cheder, we read. So first thing Mara thought it means Kol's man, you didn't finish all seven, even the leftover blood on your fingers looks at the blood. Only when you finish it has a problem. Every single sprinkle, any blood left on the finger is no longer blood. Tone kibbutz. As long as you didn't leave your finger at all, you know, you didn't spray it yet, that's still blood. Once you sprayed it, and anything left on your finger and sprinkled in the mash, it ain't tone kibbutz. No longer needs to be washed. Abaya has a question. It says, "Gomer melahazes." What happened? You finish spraying mekaneach yodai begufa shel pora. What do you do when you finish all seven sprays? What do you do with the rest of blood on your finger? You go to the pora and you wipe your hand against the pora because everything gets burnt, including the blood. And therefore, the blood on your fingers also has to get burnt. How? By wiping it against the. We had this reading in Verz Vachim. You wipe your finger against the animals. Is that more?
Burning your finger.
But don't you actually use the efer apor also as part of the mixture?
Sorry, but not the sprinkling of the blood. You're talking about the mechatas. This is talking about the sprinkling of the blood. There's different parts. Uh-huh. So we're talking about the sprinkling of the blood. So you're saying here, this leftover blood is part of the carbon. So therefore, you have to take your finger and smear it, you know, after you finish, smear it against the animal. So all the blood comes off an animal. And when you burn the animal, the blood gets burned with it. Yeah. Where is it? So it sounds like gomar only when you finish all seven sprays in loy gomar loy, because man you didn't finish all seven sprays, you don't put it against the animal. Why not? Because the blood is still suitable to be sprayed. Akasha, you said that every sprinkle whatever's left on your finger is useless. No, it seems like for me it is easy. Amalei, no, gomar mekanech yodi. When do you wipe your entire hand? Only when you finish all seven. Loy gomar, if you didn't yet finish all seven, you still have to wipe your finger. All you do is wipe your finger. Here we said you wipe your hand, and then you wipe your finger because the blood left over in your fingers you cannot use a second time. I know when you finish all seven, you have to wipe your entire hand on the back of the potter. The chesiv, it says, you should burn the potter. You should burn the potter right in front of you. So therefore, everything has to be burnt. But you're telling me that if you didn't, you called me to finish all seven. Nevertheless, after every single spray, you got to wipe your finger. But my mekanech, what do you spray it on? Because the pot is down the bottom of the mountain. So you tell me every single time you got it, because maybe you're spraying it towards the entrance of the base of Migdash. So every time that you finish a sprinkle, you got to go down the mountain to where the pot is going to be burnt, because you don't burn in the same place. And then you go back up on top. So the Gemara. Rashi, the Tosafot has a discussion here, because Rashi seems to learn here they didn't burn the pot at the very same place that they sprayed. Sprayed the, on top of the mountain, so they were facing the Pesach El Moed, and they burnt on the bottom, and the shaila is a schlep. That's the shaila. Rashi, in Zvachim, a little bit differently. Anyway, Amar Abayi, Amar Abayi, you know what? Misfas Mizra, you know where they wiped the finger in? On the keli itself, on the edge of the keli. Kidichsi, because in fact, the keli is called Kipoidei Zov. It's called the goat, the kelim are called Kipoidei. Kipoidei means to mischapit, to be atoned, it means to clean. So that's an eye of the kelim itself. You wipe the finger against the kelim, and that was good enough. It's only the very end that you wipe the whole thing. Says the Gemara, did Ablaza say this? That by blood, you're telling me that if you did it halfway, it's not Koidei. The Chavisim of the Kohen Gadol, the tenth of the ephod that you brought every single day. And because they did it, they fried in a shallow frying pan. We maybe have, we'll have later. There's marcheshes, which is a deep frying pan. You have a machvas, which is a shallow frying pan. And since the Kohen Gadol every day when he did his tatus was a shallow frying pan, it's called chavise Kohen Gadol. The word machvas. So the chavise Kohen Gadol says, "Ain't a and if you did half of a sudden in one keli and half another keli, it does not become kodesh. It's not. It's chulin." Rabbi Lazar says, since you're going to bring it in two halves, half in the morning and half at night, so you can be Mikadosh. No, Rabbi Yechon says, even though you can only bring half at a time, when you every morning they prepared the whole thing for the whole day, you have to be Mikadosh at all in one go. And Rabbi Lazar says, no, since you bring it two halves, you're Mikadosh half-half. Now, the Emitza, if you can tell me, according to Rabbi Lazar, that blood, you cannot be Mikadosh halfway. Leilev medam. Why do you have to say? So why does Abba Loza say that you yotze if you do half and half kodesh? L'chayde should be like dam of a carbon. The chavisim of a kohen gadol should be like dam. And just like by dam, we say it's not kodesh if you split it in half. So too by chavisim shouldn't be kodesh split in half. V'chitem Abba Loza milsim mislagam. And maybe he says, how can you compare a mincha, you know, dam to chavisim? It's two different things. V'amar Abba Loza says mincha should come to behechel k'sheda. L'chayde, the mincha has to be done in the courtyard. But if you did it by mistake in the hechel, nevertheless, it's kosher. Why? Shekein matzinu besiluk bezichin. That why we find that removal of the bezichin is done inside the heichel. So he's comparing one kind of carbon to something else altogether. So just like he compares the mincha to the shulchan de lechem aponim, so too he can compare chavisei kohen gadol to dam, and the difference should be possible. So he says, well, that's not a kasha. Mincha me mincha yalef. We can learn one mincha from another mincha. Remember we said the lechem aponim is very similar to a mincha because the bezichin is like the kemitza, the lechem aponim is like the sharayim. Mashen gedam is something totally different. If you cannot learn chavise kohen gadol, it's not, no comparison to dam. Mashen gedam is okay, we'll stop here. Shabbos.